Greetings to you and welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. It's my privilege, as I have done from program to program, to welcome you to this program. I do hope you will stay tuned because, as usual, we have good things in store for you. Well, we're well into the new year. January the 1st was a number of days ago, but many of us are still thinking about and acting on the resolutions and promises that we made for the new year. The message today addresses this issue. Pastor Phipps, as usual, has a fresh perspective on resolutions and promises. I hope that you'll stay tuned. You won't want to miss this program, this message today, here on The More Abundant Life. Just before the message, here's some music that I'm sure you're going to enjoy. That's music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. The song entitled, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Well, the message is about to begin. This is part one of the message. Pastor Phipps is going to give you the title. Let's just listen in and experience today's message here on the More Abundant Life.
My message this morning, an old promise for a new year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
An old promise for a new year. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, his birth made no headlines. Few who chronicled the events of history paid attention to the birth of Jesus. But I want you to know that 2,000 years ago, the birth of Jesus was breaking news in the courts of heaven. I want you to know that an angel brought the news to the shepherds and a heavenly choir, sang praises and adoration to the King of Kings. But the birth of Jesus also made news in the courts of hell. Mm-hmm. All of hell went into turmoil when the announcement was made that a Savior was born.
Yes, sir.
The courts of hell erupted into chaos when it was made known that the seed of the woman that would crush the serpent's head had come to earth. Every devil, every demonic fortress was placed on full alert. When the announcement was made that the time had come to take the kingdom from the hands of Satan. You see, brothers and sisters, Satan did not intend to give up his dominion without a battle. The scriptures tell us he arose to make war against the Lord's anointed. He pressed the cruel King Herod into service. You see, Herod, and I saw a documentary on Herod this past week, was one of the most wicked and arrogant kings that ever lived. He succeeded in having the Roman Senate declare him king of Judea. But Herod was a case study in paranoia. He lived in fear of anyone he suspected of coveting his throne. And because of his obsessive fear that someone would take his place as king, he had the queen, his own wife, murdered.
Lord Jesus.
Herod. I'm talking about somebody the devil pressed into service.
That's right. That's right.
And so that there would be no heirs to the throne, Herod then went on and had several of his own sons murdered. This man was crazy. The devil knew that this wicked King Herod would have no qualms about making sure that the child born in a manger was eliminated. If you could kill your wife and your son, you sure enough can kill a baby you heard people call King of Kings. His plan was to use the three wise men as his secret agents in carrying out his evil plan. He made it appear to them that he too was happy over the birth of this royal child and that all he needed was just some inside information as to his whereabouts so he could go pay him honor and homage. He said to the wise men, "Go search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Herod believed that once the child's location was made known, it would be an easy matter to put him out of the way. And that's what he was obsessed with, putting everybody who could be anybody out of his way. And Herod's plan would have succeeded had God not intervened. Church, everyone was deceived by Herod, including the wise men. But Psalm 94:11 tells us that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of men. He reads the hearts of men and understands your thoughts afar off. Amen. Have mercy.
Yes.
God reads your thoughts afar off. When you are coming into his presence, he is reading your mind.
All right.
Have mercy, Jesus. Woo, what a God. Reads your thoughts afar off. God was leading the wise men to Bethlehem to worship the Christ. Not to assist Herod in his murderous plot.
Come on now.
And after they had presented their gifts to Jesus, God warned them in a dream, the Bible says, that they should not return to Herod, but depart into their own country another way. Church, God told the wise men to go home another way. And sometimes God will tell you, go home another way.
That's right.
Sometimes you'll want to do something this way. God will say, no.
That's right.
Go home another way. Amen. It's the long way.
Yeah.
But you're going to get there.
Yeah.
It's a troublesome way. But it will teach you faith and perseverance.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that, yeah, thank you, Jesus, with one dream, God was able to bring Herod's plans to nothing. God has always used visions and dreams to outsmart his enemies. Hallelujah. He will download their whereabouts into your brain. He will reveal to you in the night seasons what they're up to. The Bible tells us when Herod realized that he had been outwitted and outsmarted, in a murderous rage, he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. That's like murdering every child on the east coast from 2 years old and under. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, Herod was confident that the king of Jews would be among the children slain. Oh, but my God, he's always one step ahead of your enemies. He anticipated Herod's murderous move, and so he appeared to Joseph in a dream. And God directed Joseph to take the young child and his mother, are you with me today? And flee into Egypt, and there he remained until Herod died a horrible death. Now there, that's why some folks think that Jesus had a little color, because you can't go to Egypt and hide. Are you with me today?
Yes, yes.
Why would God send you to a place where, are you with me today?
Yes,
Herod died a horrible death.
Mercy.
I was watching this documentary. It was unbelievable. Herod's body was consumed by worms while he was still alive. And this man was so wicked that even while he was dying with worms, he wasn't finished with his evil. From his deathbed, he decreed that every nobleman in Judea was to be killed.
Mercy.
Fortunately, when he died, no one paid that decree any attention. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at them. Oh, my God. The Lord shall have them in derision. Church, even when they have done their worst, God is still there in complete control of the situation. The song says he is the ruler yet. My message this morning, it's about an old promise for the new year.
All right.
It was a promise that kept my Savior as a child.
Amen.
And it will keep you
during
this year.
Amen.
As we look back over this past year, needless to say, it was one of the most momentous years of our lives.
That's
you've been living a while, but you've never seen a year like this year.
That's right. Amen.
A year filled with villains and heroes. A year dominated by low acts of selfish murder as well as supreme acts of heroism and self-sacrifice.
Yes, yes.
Those firemen who marched up into that building must have known. But duty calls. And as we write the last chapter of the old year, we look back with thanksgiving and praise to God, and we ask forgiveness for our sins. I sure hope you don't let this year come up on you without asking forgiveness for your sins.
Amen.
You better take, if you don't take time before you sing Auld Lang Syne.
Well, amen.
You better find some closet.
Yes, sir.
Get on your knees and ask God for forgiveness for every sin you've committed.
Yes.
One writer said the close of the year is a solemn moment. It calls for earnest and serious reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It demands a careful appraisal of the record that you have written.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you realize it or not, all of us have written a record.
That's right.
Everything we've ever said and ever done has been recorded in the books of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
we're going to meet it.
My Lord.
If it isn't covered by the blood, we're going to meet it. So take the time.
Hallelujah.
And is that all you got to do is in sincere faith? Amen. Just get on your knees and ask God to put his blood over it? Man, that should drive you to your knees. Someone said, what has your life conduct been this year? What about your behavior towards your neighbor? Towards your family? How have you treated the members in your church? Have you grown in grace? Have you made emotional progress? Now notice I said emotional progress. Because, are you with me? Some of us are more worried about financial progress, career progress, and we still act just as wild and crazy. Because emotionally, we're not all that we could be. Despite our failures, God remembers us with temporal and spiritual blessings. And so another year is dawning. Ask yourself what kind of record you plan to write this year. Mm-hmm. You're going to improve?
All right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. And what will the new year bring for you? Will it be joy? Sorrow? Mm-hmm. Will it be health? Sickness? Will all members of your family be with you at the close of 2002? Well. As we begin this journey into the year, we are cognizant that we have very little warning of what the new year holds for us.
That's right.
You know, when people used to take more trips by car, which, by the way, these days people are increasingly inclined to do.
That's right.
Think on that a moment. The first thing you realize when you get ready to take a trip by car is you need a road map. And there's nothing like taking a trip and realizing that nobody remembered the map. But a map can't help you if you don't know where you are.
Well, all right. Yes, sir. That preacher.
You plan to go to heaven. Well, you better take inventory as to where you are.
Amen. All right.
Brothers and sisters, another year's passing through the portals of time and into eternity. And what a year it's been. This year we saw with our own eyes the improbable give way to the incredible.
Mercy.
This year we saw the dawn of the impossible. Who would ever thought it possible that planes could fly into a building and bring two towers of pillars in America's financial temple down? We saw this year the dawn of the impossible, the arrival of the inconceivable. This year opened with high hopes but took a dramatic turn for the worse, and now whether you're up on it, and I sure hope you're praying, people, because this world of ours now faces a threat of nuclear war in Asia. We face the onslaught of terrorism at home. This year, 2002, will open with the arrival of a new age of terrorism in America. We are facing a threat we have never seen in this country. All over the world, like a dark cloud, looms the deadly threat of war. All around the world, hatred has been nurtured in the minds of the young, and soon it is about to bear a baleful harvest, a harvest for which I am afraid we are woefully unprepared. Smart weapons can't help you with crazy people. They become obsolete. All over the globe, the great powers of the world are on edge, and soon we will see, and I'm afraid to say it, but we're going to see more emergency sessions of Congress and emergency sessions of the British Parliament and the UN going into emergency sessions. I want you to know that our world is being tossed and torn. But I'm glad that we're not governed by warlords.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's just but one Lord.
Amen.
I want you to know he's not giving this world over to evil.
Amen.
We are not held hostage to the mercies of unprincipled men.
Right.
God is still on his throne.
Amen.
He has not relinquished control to the forces of evil in this world. So no need to fear. Though evil seems so strong, their pride and power is not for long.
Amen.
It is true that none of us have a clue as to what the future holds. And I've seen people, and you've seen them too, trying to read a map when they have no clue where to begin. And it's a sight. It's a sight. Folks, you will stare at a map forever if you don't know where you are. Amen? And when you're on a journey, knowing where you are is indispensable. And I want you to know, we're coming down to the end of time. You've got to know where you are. You must know where you are before you can get where you want to go. I remember in the old days, before I went on a trip, and isn't that amazing when you start talking AAA and maps, you're talking about the old days.
That's right.
Amen. Remember? No, you won't. You're too young to remember. But there were days when you got ready for a trip, you went to the AAA office
That's right.
To get the plotted out map.
That's right.
Amen. AAA would give you information about the roads on which you would travel, the countryside, and somehow you knew that when you got a AAA map, you had the benefits of experts who would travel the way before you. Yes. Nowadays, you get that in moments on the internet.
That's right.
Amen? Yes. How is AAA going to keep in business? The computer spits out a map and directions.
Right.
And I want you to know this year, as you journey into the year ahead, there is no AAA office, no internet that can help you map out what the future might bring for you. For this journey, AAA has no resources, no maps, no charts, and as I heard a brother say using the double negative, no nothing. You see, no man has traveled the road you're about to travel. No one has gone the way you've gone before. No one knows what it might bring. But through his word and that still small voice, I want you to know God will guide you. In your dreams, he will guide you. In visions, just like he guided Joseph and he guided the three wise men. The year ahead of you is going to be wild and unexplored as the South Pole itself. The year that is ahead of you is uncharted. It is unmapped. And there is no technology that can prepare you for what life might bring you this year. I travel with one of those. I'm a gadget guy. I love useful gadgets. I travel with one of those little handheld GPS gizmos. You know, the kind that hold it in your hand and you watch it connect up to the satellites. And it tells you where you are. Amen. Tells you which direction you're headed in. It tells you approximately how long it will take you to get to your destination. It'll tell you, this handheld wonder will give you your speed, your heading. It tells you where the exits are. It'll even tell you how long to the next exit. Amen. You know that famous question that is always asked in the car, how long to the next exit? It is an amazing electronic roadmap, and I find it indispensable when I travel. But even with the new gadgets and inventions, even with all of our technological marvels, we as human beings do not have the ability to peer beyond the veil that separates the past from the present and the present from the future. With each passing hour, we await what we presume what the future holds. 'Cause we don't know, so we've got to wait for it. And with each passing day, we stand on the edge of a murky abyss, and we wait and we wonder where the path we're on is going to take us. My electronic GPS gizmo can tell me a lot of things, but it can't tell me whether the road of life this year will be rough and rocky. It won't tell me whether it'll be narrow or twisting. It can't tell me whether the road of life will take me beside still waters or on tempest-tossed seas. It can't tell you whether the road ahead of your life this year will be feast or famine. You don't know what's coming down the pipe. Amen? It can't tell you whether you will traverse calm and beautiful valleys, whether your feet will be planted on treacherous cliffs. It won't tell you whether your husband's going to act crazy. Are you with me today? It won't tell you if your wife is going to lose her mind. So as I pack for this trip into the new year, I realize you better pack with the promises of God.
Yes, sir.
Pack your GPS, but you better pack the promises.
Amen.
During World War II, two sisters on their way home suddenly saw some Japanese soldiers coming towards them. They knew they'd be taken prisoners and perhaps tortured. And as those two sisters moved, they cried out to the Lord in prayer. And suddenly, there appeared a great black Newfoundland dog out of nowhere. It stepped between the sisters and the soldiers as if to protect them. They had never seen the dog before. It barked so ferociously, had such a ferocious look on its face as if intent on tearing the soldiers to pieces. The soldiers backed up and backed away, and the dog guided the two sisters to their home and lay all night on the floor keeping watch. In the morning, it went away just as mysteriously as it had appeared. What promises are you packing for the year ahead? Well, as I thought about this and I prayed on this and I meditated, Lord, what promises am I going to take into this year? I pondered, what am I going to put in my suitcase to journey into the new year? I didn't think of going by AAA. I didn't think of my electronic battery-operated handheld GPS miracle. It too has limitations. It can tell me a lot of things. It can't tell me what I'll meet when I get there. And so God led me to this. I want you to turn in your Bible, because there are a lot of promises you can take into the new year. But brother, let me tell you something. God gave me a word. I hope it's for you. I know it's for me. That will carry you into the new year. Say, devil.
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 Watch out.
Watch out.
I'm packing a promise.
Amen.
Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon.
All right.
Sorry. I'm going into the new year. Packing a promise. So watch out, devil.
Amen.
No weapon.
Yes, sir.
That is formed against thee this year.
Yes.
Throw that in. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Well, that concludes our message for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that you will join us again to hear the conclusion of this message on another broadcast. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, however, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You'll want to ask for program number 237 today, which will give you the title, An Old Promise for a New Year, Part 1. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. asking you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.